You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Well, as you know, we have our meetings before we kick off each service, and it was just so encouraging. Pastor Ted mentioned about the Northside Church and just how well it's going. He even mentioned about how it's growing. And I mean, that's so encouraging. You know, we got to spend some time with them. They came up when we prayed for everybody, the anointing service, and they are just an incredible crowd of people. And they are Church One, just like us, amen. So I want you to continue to pray, and let's continue to believe God for that region, but not just their region, but the Church One influence, amen. We want to see people's lives changed and impacted in an incredible way. Amen. Well, I'm going to read a passage to you that God has really laid on my heart. It's quite interesting, really, because the last time I had the privilege of sharing with you, I spoke about some stuff that, you know, it was the morning we had the baby dedication, and I thought the material I felt God wanted me to share. I thought, oh Lord, is this really what you want me to share? And then it's the same tonight. We've been talking about the importance of the gifts and learning about the gifts, the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit. And tonight I'm talking about them, but just in a slightly different, I guess, angle. And I just want you to open your hearts tonight as we do that, because it's important. God wants not just a church full of people, but a church full of people that love Him passionately. Amen? So I'm just going to read this passage to you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 3. And it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving, or are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" I've entitled tonight's message, "The Heart of the Matter." The heart of the matter. Father, we thank you tonight, first and foremost, for your incredible presence in this place. We thank you for the great privilege it is to come together as a church family and just to praise and to worship you in this environment. It was an incredible experience, Lord, just to be able to push through. What an incredible team we have, Lord, that we are blessed with. And I thank you for the incredible gifts on their lives. But Lord, just to be able to minister to you, I guess, but just to push in and praise and worship you. We thank you for that tonight. We thank you for your incredible presence in this place, and pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, let my words be yours and yours alone. Let your spirit, we pray, speak to us. No matter how old, how young, what culture, it doesn't matter, but you would speak to us, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher, you are the guide, you are the comforter, you are the one who leads us into all truth, and we ask you to lead us tonight. And we thank you for that tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture I've found. And it's an interesting one, because Paul had to, the first thing that Paul had to do in Corinth, this is the church in Corinth, and he's dealing with a lot of new Christians, but they're carnal Christians. You know, they're just still babes. So there's a whole heap of stuff that they are working through. But what I believe Paul had to do in this particular book was to balance what he wrote in the 13th chapter with what he wrote in the 12th chapter. And he wrote in the 12th chapter about the spiritual gifts, the powerful spiritual gifts. And the Bible, and we know this, that the Bible says that Jesus ascended on high and that gifts were poured out to all men. The gifts of the Spirit, they are powerful. That the prophecy, word of wisdom, words of knowledge, interpretation of tongues, so many gifts are poured out. But you know, there was a challenge, because with carnal people, I don't know about you, but I found that gifts in the hands of carnal people, it can be quite dangerous. Yeah. So it's important for us to understand. See, because the gift will only take you as far as your character can sustain you. And there is something about gifts. You know, I think it's important, and I'm going to say it, that God didn't save you to create a stage for you. I think that's important to understand. That God didn't give you an incredible gift to sing, or to prophesy, or to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, so that you can sort of like push your chest out and say, you know, I am better than everybody else, and I really, God's really using me. No. That's not what it's all about. It's not about that at all. The gifts are so important, and they are crucial to the life and the growth of the church, because it is God's gifts and he has given it to all of us. But Paul has this challenge where he is teaching them how to operate in the gifts. But let's not forget what it's all about. Your gift will take you where your character will not keep you. It's about growing, amen? It's about discipleship. You've heard it here. You hear it all the time. There's new Christians classes. There's opportunities for you to grow in your faith. Pastor Ted mentioned it this morning about this book that's in your lap, the importance of getting the Word of God into you. Because ultimately it's the Word and only the Word that will change you and bring eternal value to your life. The Word is so crucial. If you want to see, and this is how I came to this message, was this statement that God spoke to me. If you want to see a good old fight on social media, go onto a religious site. Go onto a religious site. Like, they will argue about just about anything and everything. I'm being honest with you, because I've kind of been on there. I haven't spoken because it's very interesting. But, you know, after God said that to me, you know, you see all different kinds of arguments. They talk about all sorts of things, about communion, about this and that. You know, oh, you have church on Saturday. Oh, you shouldn't have it on Sunday. You shouldn't have all these things. Oh, you should have Coke and for your communion and not this, or ginger ale, all sorts of things. All these answers. But the bottom line is we've lost the heart of the matter. What is it really all about? You know, I've often thought that when we were pastoring, I thought some things are just something you can discuss over a cup of tea. Just forget about it. You know, there are some bigger issues. There are some more important stuff that God has called us to. Amen? And I want to look at that tonight. God said this to me. What is the heart of the matter? What is the heart of the matter? The heart of the matter is this. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso, even if the whoso is someone you don't like, even if the whoso is someone you have an issue with, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the heart of the matter. It's interesting. The Pharisees, the very thing that they challenged Jesus with was, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? And we know that, don't we? Challenged him. And Jesus said, you asked that question? Well, let me give you this answer. I believe it comes down to two things, and two things only. That if you will, number one, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the scripture goes on to say that if you get those two right, you've got the whole book. You've got the whole book. It doesn't even matter whether you can speak Hebrew or Greek. It doesn't really matter. If you get those two nailed, love God and love people. Now, this is just fundamental. But obviously, love God is a fairly big statement. As you get into it, actually, Pastor Ted mentioned or spoke just a few weeks back about love, and it just really resonated with me because he had the picture. You know, some things you think, wow, I wish I could do that. He could draw. Have you noticed that? He can just draw and stuff looks good. Like if I want to draw a man, it just everything, it always looks like a stick person. Doesn't look like anything. But anyway, he's written up there and he's got love in the middle. I actually had to ask him because I'd forgotten. But it had written on one side or two aspects to love, the important parts. And the first side was intimacy. And then on the other side was imitate. Two very important ingredients in love. Now, I don't want to get into that because that's all here. It's all available to you on your podcast. Get into it. But my point to you tonight is those are the two things. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself the same way. The same passion that you have for God is the same sort of love you need to have one for another. Amen? Very important. Jesus said, if you get that down pat, you've nailed it. You've nailed it. Forget about all the foot washings and the ceremonial stuff. You've got it if you can nail those two. Love God and love people. The question is this, can we see Christ's love in you? Can people see Christ's love? That's the question. If I went onto your Instagram or Facebook, will people see your love? Will they see Christ's love? And God really challenged me with that because I immediately, when God spoke that to me, I went straight to my Facebook page. And I realized there was some stuff there that I'm just being honest. I wonder if I looked on your Facebook page what I'd see. But I was really challenged because there was some stuff there that I felt I had the right motive, but I realized there was no love there. My thought was I wanted to challenge my family. I was talking about my family. I put some stuff on there because I wanted to I wasn't going to use that, just to get some discussion going. But when God spoke to me about this, love God and love people, I went straight on and I deleted them. I deleted them. I thought, man, no, there's something greater than me winning an argument. There's something greater than me just being, yeah, I'm right. I'm talking about children in my family that you know, that are, you know, homosexual and like stuff. We've got to deal with the stuff. This is reality. And they've got to sense God's love. So anyway, I went on there and I got rid of all those things. They're still not talking to me, but anyway.
We love you, Henry.
I just had a look on Facebook. And a few weeks back, probably, I don't know, that's when I saw it the first time, whether it had happened a few weeks back or it was longer. But they found a giant statue, 3,000 years old statue, was found buried in the slums of Cairo in Egypt. It was a statue of Pharaoh Ramesses II. a great Pharaoh. Well, you know, he was well known. I know that he was great, but he was well known 3,000 years ago. And they dug it up, and they're claiming that it's the greatest find of our time. And one of the things I saw in that is that they had forgotten about it. They knew it was there somewhere, but they had actually forgotten all about it. It wasn't until they were just doing some regular digging that they came across this incredible big statue, 3,000 years old. They had forgotten about it until it was recently uncovered. You know what I find with Christians, and I'm talking about me, every message that I've ever got, God speaks to me first, and I have to sweep. I have to sort stuff out in my life so that I feel like I can preach, otherwise I feel like a hypocrite. And one thing I found is that we can forget about what matters most.
Yes.
It's very easy to forget. They'd forgotten about it. They knew it was there, but 3,000 or how long ago, hundreds of years ago, it just sort of got pushed to the side. It was just forgotten, you know, and was covered with, no doubt it was silt and mud and dirt and water, and it was just sitting there, covered up. Just covered up. We Christians forget all the time. Oh, that's what I've found. I forget all the time. I forget what church is about sometimes because I get stuff, you know, caught up with work issues or there's family stuff. We forget all the time. We forget about what church is really about. And I just sense tonight that God wants us, or he wants to unravel, he wants to uncover stuff so that we can see the importance of this message in regards to love, loving God. If people would just see the love of God in you and in me, I believe they would flock into this place. I believe they would, we would have to open the doors wide to let them in. Love is so important. It is crucial. It is the ingredient that is needed. We forget about how we feel about each other. We just forget. The book of Revelation, oh, by the way, no one told me how long I'm supposed to be up here. Does that sort of mean just keep going? No. Oh, Rick will come up. Yeah, of course. Thanks, Rick. The book of Revelation puts it this way. I know your works, your labor and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience. They've done some great things. I just sense God saying, I am so proud of you. You've seen apostles, and they call themselves apostles, but you know they are not. And then he just goes on, I see your perseverance, I see your patience for my name's sake. And we know this passage. The Bible says this, nevertheless, Jesus said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. The Amplified Bible says it this way, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love, you have lost the depth of love that you first had for me. You've lost your first love. And my question to you is this, how? How could you lose that love? How could we lose that first love? I promised I wouldn't talk about my wife, but I'm going to. The first time, you know, I'm talking about first love, you know, it's just, it's still there. Anyway, no, I won't. I'll leave that. Sorry. First love. How can we lose it? It's very easy. Through disappointments, through frustrations, through hurts, through busyness, not feeling appreciated, not getting back what you expected in return for your love. All of a sudden, there's all this stuff that covers over the thing that really matters most. And it's God's love. So we can lose this incredible love that we once had. I remember, again, I'm just being honest, I remember those times when I would worship God, even though I knew I was really faking it. I was pushing through stuff, but I was here. You could say, oh, well, you're faithful anyway, you're pushing through. But I remember those things, where the things that just come around us, just suffocate us almost. And we can lose that love for God, our first love. That verse goes on to say this. Remember from what great height you have fallen. Remember from what great height you have fallen. You know, I worked on the oil rigs for close on 10 years, and I worked my way up, and I ended up in a position which is called a derrickman. And what that position entailed was that you got up into the derrick, which is normally about, oh, I guess it's about 100 feet. So it's not massively high. But in a derrick, what happens is when you're drilling, the whole rig just moves like that. And that's how it feels on the ground. But when you're 100 foot up, it's like really swinging. And I remember, it didn't happen to me, but I remember a friend of mine who was up in the derrick. He was teaching me how to work the derricks. He was up there and he fell. Now he had, thank goodness, he had one of those harnesses on, but he was dangling there. And when he came down, I always remember him saying, he said, mate, that was the scariest moment of my life. It was just up there, and he said, for a moment, I just slipped, bang, and he just saw everything down below, and then just realized, bang, the rope was there. They swung, and it took us about a half an hour to get him back up. Remember. I was also reminded of Pastor Ted on his motorbike, on his mountain bike. Remember? Does everyone remember that? I'm reminded every time he hops up to preach. See the scar there? Wow. Remember. If we remember, if we find it so easy to, I mean, and you won't forget, will you? If I fell from that derrick, I'll never forget it. You'd never forget it. I mean, if I took you off this building and I threw you off, even if you're not scared of heights, you would remember it. You'd remember it. And yet, why does the Bible say, remember from what great height you've fallen? Why does it say that? Because it is a gradual decline. It is gradual. You don't even realize it's happening. That's why God says, remember. Remember from what great height you've fallen. It's a gradual erosion. It's a gradual erosion of your sincerity. It's a gradual erosion of your love. It's a gradual erosion of your commitment, of the love of God in your life. It's gradual. Before you realize the love you had is covered over. But God wants to set you free. He wants to set us free so that we can love again, live again, speak again, be confident again with people. Amen? The last part It is this. Man looks, this is in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. The outward appearance. You know, I wish I had a dollar for all of the changes that you've done on your outside, on your appearance. I wouldn't mind the money, and I'm talking about me here. I wouldn't mind the money that I've paid for gyms that I've never gone to. Imagine the money. And all this stuff we do, and it's hair, like obviously you need to do that because if you want to get what you want, you've got to put in what you want to put in. I understand that. But my point is this. We do all this stuff to fix up our outside. All this stuff we do, and yet God is not interested in your outside. God is interested on your inside. God is interested in your heart. What is going on in your heart? And I'm going to close with that tonight. God wants to set you free. God wants to set me free. He wants to deal with the disappointments that we feel that can so easily choke out that love for God, that first love. The frustration, the hurts, the busyness of life. It's incredible. I see it all the time. We think that busyness is a sign of our love for God. And it is. It's important. But are we really loving God? Busyness can be a real trap. It's not about how busy we are. Not feeling appreciated, man, that can kill your love for God. Would you just close your eyes tonight? As I said, God, I would never really share much unless it was what God wanted me to share. And most times, 9 times out of 10, it's because of stuff that I've needed to deal with in my own life. And I'm sure you're no different to me. But I just sense tonight that maybe you're here tonight, and I think that's fantastic that you're in the house of God. There's no better place than to be here. But maybe, I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe you're here by duty alone and not by relationship. Maybe you're just, you know, that you know it's the right thing to do. But is it really? Is God really more interested in how busy you are or how often you attend? Or rather, how passionate you are about Him and how much you love Him. And I'm just going to leave it at that tonight, just as we pray. But I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will begin to move any hindrance that may be in your life so that once again, you will experience that incredible love for God that you once experienced. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your incredible love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this place. I thank you for every person here tonight. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in our hearts and in our lives. I pray that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to us those things that we need to deal with. Those things that that may be choking out the very thing that is so precious to you, our love and our worship. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move on each and every person that needs you tonight. I pray that you would touch lives and impact people, that you would deal with stuff, issues in people's lives. In Jesus' name, move, Holy Spirit, we pray, as only you can. You are the one who leads us into all truth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.